Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for today is found recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 14, verses 8 through 18, and reads as follows. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who, steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lyconia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, we know from the scriptures and from our own experience that not everyone who hears the word of God becomes a believer. Not everyone who hears the law feels contrition, sorrow over his sins. Not everyone who hears the gospel is brought to saving knowledge and trust in the Lord Jesus. So while the word of God is always efficacious, always having the power of God to bring people to faith, it's not always effective. It doesn't always bring people to faith. In our text for today, we're given an example from history in which we could see one person being brought to faith through the preached word of Paul at Lystra, and many, many others refusing to listen, refusing to heed the words preached by Paul and preferring instead to return to their heathenistic idolatry. Why some are converted by the word of God while others are not is a question that the Bible does not answer. Synergists contradict the Bible when they claim that the different results can be explained by different attitudes that some people have toward the word of God, that some people resist more than others, that some people are just a little more inclined to follow God and believe the gospel. But as we shall observe in our text for today, no man can bring himself to saving faith. We should first consider the point that natural man is ignorant of the true religion, and secondly, that natural man is hostile against the true religion. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. All people, by nature, know that there is a God, from the existence of the world, from the testimony of their own conscience. However, by nature, no one knows who the true God is. So man by nature is completely ignorant of the one true saving religion, the Christian religion. Man by nature is ignorant of God's grace in Christ Jesus, his undeserved love, the forgiveness of sins earned by Jesus, by his perfect life and bitter suffering and death on the cross in the stead of all mankind. Since this true Christian faith is absolutely necessary for a person to be saved from his sins, and since no one knows those things by nature, God, desiring that all be saved, has commanded his saving word to be carried throughout all nations. That is what you and I are to do. That is what we see Paul and Barnabas doing in our text. While in Lystra, where the Christian religion was not known, Paul and Barnabas preached about the one true God and his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And while they were preaching, Paul's eyes fell upon a man who had never been able to walk, one whom our text says was born crippled. Paul noticed that this man was listening to his preaching, and God gave the Apostle Paul a special knowledge, knowledge that this crippled man had faith in the power of Christ to heal him. We read in our text, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, 'Stand upright on thy feet.' And he leaped and walked." Now that man was not an associate of Paul and Barnabas. He was a local resident of Lystra. All the other locals knew that he had never been able to walk. So now that they could see him leaping and walking, as soon as St. Paul, by the power of God, gave the command for him to get up on his feet, there could be no doubt in their minds that they had just witnessed a most amazing miracle. However, the conclusion that they jumped to showed that they were not listening very well to the preaching of Paul and Barnabas. They were not atheists, but they believed in false gods. And in their astonishment at this miracle that they had just seen, the people of Lystra dismissed from their minds what Paul and Barnabas had been teaching them, reverted to their pagan ideas, and concluded that Paul and Barnabas must be the gods revealed in the form of men. We read in our text, "And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, 'The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men.' And they called Barnabas Jupiter," or in the Greek we see it's Zeus, "and Paul Mercurius," or Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Since our text says that these inhabitants of Lystra were getting ready to offer sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas, it was clear that they did have strong religious beliefs. They just believed in a completely false religion, one that could never save them. They believed in various gods, and they believed that it would be through their works that they would appease the gods and earn their salvation. Of course, even natural man should realize the foolishness of that, the idea that the imperfect works of man could be satisfying to a perfect God. So then these religions that make salvation the result of human achievement, which is really all the non-Christian religions in the world, can never bring peace of conscience, can never bring peace to one who is really troubled in his mind because of his sins. A true Christian religion is the only one that teaches us not to trust in our own works, but to trust in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all our sins. It is therefore the only religion that actually can save us, the only religion that can bring true peace and happiness to those who are deeply troubled in their minds because of their sins. But sadly, even when the glorious teaching of the scriptures of the one true God, the one true religion, are presented to a person, the only thing that he can do of his own natural powers is reject it as foolishness. This is because man's natural condition of original sin, which causes him to be without true fear, love, and trust in God, without righteousness, spiritually blind, dead, and the enemy of God, So, man in his corrupt mind invents things that might, in his mind, pacify the gods. And as was mentioned earlier, the only thing that occurs to man by nature is work righteousness. Of course, man might also adopt theories that let him believe that there is no God and that there is no judge. Theories such as the Big Bang and evolution, used to try to explain the existence of God's creatures without their needing to be a creator. All that in an attempt to silence man's natural knowledge of God and to silence the accusing voice of the conscience. Now, in our text for today, we see that the inhabitants of Lystra had developed their own false notions of the gods and how they should be served with their sacrifices. Now, Paul and Barnabas did not immediately understand what the people were doing, since they shifted in their talk to the speech of the Lycaonians. But as soon as they did realize what they were doing, they tried to correct their misunderstanding to stop their idolatrous worship. We read in our text, "Which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes," which was a sign of grief, "and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, 'Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein.'" Now, if Paul and Barnabas were worldly false prophets, interested in receiving praise and power from the people, they would have loved to be treated as gods. But they didn't want to be worshipped. They wanted to direct the people to the worship of the one true God. And it was so sad and frustrating to them that these people that they had been teaching so quickly reverted back to their idolatrous ways. But Paul and Barnabas again attempted to bring the true religion to the people of Lystra, drawing their attention to the fact that the one true God is the creator of all things and the one who continues to preserve his creatures. They told the people, "Turn from these vanities," namely their idols, "unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered," which means allowed, all nations to walk in their own ways. "Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." Even though God had long allowed the heathen nations to live in their idolatry, he always gave evidence of his own existence by providing the people with many earthly blessings, daily bread, all a result of his great love for mankind through Christ Jesus. And now God had sent to the people of Lystra two of his messengers, Paul and Barnabas, to enlighten their understanding, to pull them away from their idolatrous ways, to show them their Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel. And what was the result of that preaching, the attempt of Paul and Barnabas to correct these people, to pull them out of their heathenistic ways and show them the one true God? Well, we learn in the last verse of our text that they were just barely able to stop them from doing worship to them. We read, "And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them." And we see in the verse that comes right after our text a complete turnaround on the parts of the people, especially with regard to the Apostle Paul. Instead of treating him like a god, they now treated him with such hatred and contempt that they tried to kill him. We read in verse 19, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." The hatred of the gospel of Christ was so intense among the Jews of Antioch and Iconium, two places that Paul and Barnabas had preached previously, that they came to Lystra to stir up the people. And they so fomented hatred against the apostles that they stoned Paul. They stoned the man that they had just been trying to worship as a god. Now, if Paul had allowed them to think of him as a god, well, then they wouldn't have tried to stone him. But since he corrected them, since he tried to bring them away from their sins and iniquity into the true saving religion, they responded with nothing but hatred. And so it is with us Christians today in our dealings with the children of this world. If we would just let the unbelievers do what they want to do without rebuking them, without correcting them, if we just acted like we approved of their sinful ways, well then, they'd like us. They would treat us with kindness. But consistent Christians can't do that. So, if we live noticeably Christian lives, if we confess the truth and oppose the error of their ways, well, then we can expect them to hate us and maybe even treat us with violence like they did the Apostle Paul in our text. In fact, if the enemies of Christ do not hate us and speak evil of us, then that means that we're doing something wrong. We must not be letting our Christian light shine. They must think that we're one of them. Jesus told his disciples, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Now, even though the enemies of Paul sought to kill him and actually thought that they had killed him, God miraculously delivered the apostle. And so Paul and Barnabas left Lystra and went to a city called Derbe, where they continued to preach the gospel. And after that, they returned to Lystra and to the other cities that they had taught, because in those cities there were some who had received the gospel in true faith. So if you have your Bibles open to where our text is found, and you look at some of the verses that come after it, verses 21 and 22 in particular, there we read, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city," that'd be Derbe, "and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." So the preaching of Paul and Barnabas was not in vain. Some became true believers. And it wasn't because Paul and Barnabas were such great preachers, the power to convert the people rested in the gospel, the message, not the messenger. The Bible calls the gospel the power of God unto salvation. The gospel carries with it God's power to convert the heart, to bring the penitent sinner to a saving knowledge of and trust in Jesus as his Savior from sin. Furthermore, the gospel has the power of God to build up and strengthen the believers in their faith. As the Apostle Paul said in his farewell address to the Ephesian pastors, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace," the gospel, "which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are which are sanctified." God has given us that powerful gospel to bring us to faith, to build us up and strengthen us in the faith. He's blessed us with a congregation where the word of God is taught in its full truth and purity, where the power of the Holy Ghost works on our hearts through law and gospel. But if we follow this one true religion, we're going to be hated by the world. The world opposes us, like it opposed Paul and Barnabas in our text, like it opposed Jesus himself. So we should expect to be persecuted. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. But to keep us from becoming discouraged or frightened, we Christians have the promises of God's love and protection in the gospel, which not only assure us of our forgiveness and life everlasting in heaven, but also assure us of God's loving care and protection during this earthly life. Therefore, we have nothing to fear. We can say with King David in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So may God the Holy Ghost impress these comforting and encouraging words upon your heart and continue to preserve you in the saving Christian faith through the gospel. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.